welcome to 3 to 5 Guys, Boxes and Fries, and we have three guys.
Sponsored by Carl Jr. today. Yeah. Get your all-star meals for only $5. Actually, it's $5 and what, 33 cents?
$5.39. I think.
And they don't charge extra if you want to upsize your drink. So.
They didn't charge you extra?
No, you just say, hey, I want a large.
Oh, wow.
Same price. They're doing the McDonald's thing.
Just one price for all
No,
drinks.
It's Taco Bell. Oh, wait, the
Taco Bell, you have to pay.
No, you have to pay 10
cents. But it's like 10 cents.
No, but this is no sense. It's nonsense.
It makes no sense.
It's nonsense. So I have the topic today.
Okay.
And actually, I'm going to, what do you call it? Call an audible where you switch things up in the moment. Is that what the audible is in football? It's like, I'm going to do a topic we were discussing in the car. I liked it. I'm going to talk about... is religion the product of evolution, right? And based on what you were kind of saying, so can you kind of introduce what kind of the premise of this point?
Sure. So, in the early days of the human race,
millions of years ago,
however many years ago, there was, once we became self-aware and aware of our mortality, the fact that we were going to die, the theory that goes along with this is that that then scared the crap out of us and could have potentially caused us not to thrive, right? We could have survived in a cave somewhere or whatever, but we didn't thrive. We didn't, you know, have offspring. You think about it, if you, once you know that you're gonna die, what's the purpose of having offspring, right? So it hinders that. So the concept is that those who were more, had a predilection to believe in an afterlife, they survived better because then they had offspring that they could then live with potentially in the afterlife, all that type of stuff.
So it gave more incentive to like do the thing, right? Live the life.
Yeah.
Have, like, procreate.
Uh-huh.
And you're saying, and you were saying it wasn't necessarily just because of straight up fear of, like, dying.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you maybe, what do you think they were?
It was the
fact that people were less likely to take certain risks because of this, though, or what do you?
I'm sure that's possible. But I think most of it is, what's the point, right? If you know you're going to die, what's the point of living? Especially in the early days of man, right? Where their whole purpose was just to get food, basically, and not get killed.
You can't really compare it to like an atheist today, right?
No.
Because there's a lot, I mean, life is pretty darn good now.
Yeah.
Right? It's not like you're just struggling. It's not all life is, right?
Yeah.
Huh, interesting. Because that just made me think, like, just kind of, I mean, I wish we were recording our conversation earlier because I was really liking where it was going. But it's just, it made me think, like, it just, we have this need to survive, right?
Yeah.
But I never thought of that. Like, if you didn't have this thought of an afterlife, something that kind of gives you hope, I guess?
Uh-huh.
Is it hope that you're getting from this?
Sure.
Purpose?
Yeah, I would say it's a purpose. When it comes down to what we're talking about specifically, right, the evolutionary, the possibility of this coming from an evolutionary process, you got to have purpose if you want to live, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there's lots of purpose. Nowadays, there's lots of other purposes, like you were mentioning, right?
The Peace Corps, or whatever.
Yeah, sure. I mean, you can live an 80-year life and have a lot of, and accomplish a lot and not expect at all to have an afterlife. And you're still satisfied, right?
So you're saying, does this come down to we need more to life than just the purpose of survival, right? Of hitting your nose to the grind, you know, bringing home the bacon, only making, you know what I mean? Like, just surviving at a base level. We need more than that, right?
On the average.
The average individual.
Because the average individuals are perfectly happy with the idea that when they die, that's the end. That's the big deal, you know?
There are definitely people
my
that
parents,
can handle that, right?
My parents died, you know? My mom died, you know?
It's part of life.
Whether she is there after death or not, doesn't matter.
But
I have no way of measuring it, so why would it matter?
Yeah, but
so you have people on that side, mm-hmm. and then you have other people who are like, you know, if there's nothing, then, you know, then life is like pointless, you know, and those two people, you know, one says, hey, I still have, there's still a point to living, you know, and here's where they are, and they can give you a big long explanation of it.
I guess that's my point is, like, now maybe you have all kinds of people, right?
Yeah.
Obviously, mm-hmm. some people that really need that idea of believing that they'll see their family after this life doesn't, you know, for many reasons, right? But back in the beginning of man, you know, early on, kind of going back to what we were saying a little earlier, is like, we didn't have all these things that gave us purpose. So, like, you know, when your parents died, and it's like, hey, it'd be cool if I saw them again, but it's like, the idea of, if I don't see them again, like, I can't go on with my life, you know?
Yeah.
But you have a lot of things that give you purpose, right? Like, well, you know what I mean? Like, in yeah. your life, beyond just the idea of, you can believe in an afterlife, but it's not your, like, really main motivating factor in life, necessarily. Like, I don't think about every day, like, man, I'm glad that when I die, I'm not gone forever. You know, like, I don't think about this stuff. I don't drive down the street.
Maybe you should.
Thinking.
You're a bad Christian.
But how would it affect us if we didn't believe in, like, if there was no concept of an afterlife? You kind of believe we wouldn't have gotten as far as we have, right? We would have stayed in clay caves. We wouldn't have ventured out as much. We wouldn't have done as much.
That's kind of the concept. I don't know that it would have completely prohibited us, right? But it definitely would have. I think it would have slowed the progression. Especially early on, right? I don't know about now. I don't think it slows our progression now. Like if all of a sudden people completely stop believing in God or an afterlife, would it destroy the human race? No. I don't know. Maybe it would.
I'm sure there's plenty of people that think it would.
Oh, absolutely.
Like that's what's wrong with the world today is that people don't believe in God. They're not, you know.
Yeah, sure. Most of your God-fearing people believe that that's the cause of all the worldly problems.
And that's assuming that the world is, like, worse now than it was 50 years ago, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I guess it depends on what you're looking at. What
piece of data,
right? Perspective, like, obviously in a lot of ways, the world's only getting better, right?
In almost all statistical ways.
Yeah, I mean, you could, like, but some people don't
except
want
for,
to believe that.
Except for the influence of mainstream media. That's the only thing. That's the only bad part of modern civilization.
The only bad part?
Well, so
lamestream media.
So I gave extremes, but you have a variety of people in between, and so I think they religiously will participate to the level that they feel a need for mm-hmm. that thing. And,
mm-hmm.
and so you may have somebody who's in one church or religion, and it's not meeting that need, and then they get introduced to another one that cares about it in a different way that helps them, and they say, yeah, I'm going to convert from this one to that one.
Like,
and then you have others who are, you know, members of a particular religion, and they say, you know what? This isn't really helping me. I'm just going to stop going. It doesn't help me. And they stop going, and they're perfectly happy with that.
And maybe they find another community that they feel like
or they don't
that need better.
Maybe, or they don't. Or they don't because they don't need that.
Maybe their community is like their work and like who they work with, mm-hmm. and
but I mean,
you know, the weekly lunch, you know, five
podcast
kind of a situation where you're sitting around a table and you go, hey, that's my community, you know.
But if you really like expand.
Wait, are you saying that this podcast is your religion?
Yeah.
This is your reason for living?
Yeah, this is it. You know, I go home and I'm thinking, okay, what time is it? Is it time to go to work yet?
Man,
but only on Tuesday nights, right?
I hope A and B are there because if they're not, then I think I'll just go back home.
This guy's living for the weekday, man.
The specific weekday, the Wednesday.
Yeah.
The Wednesday. Dang it, I had a thought and I just lost it, but... Oh, I was going to say that if you broaden the definition of what a community is, right? You could say that everybody... Well, I don't know everybody, but I'd say that, like, most people have some kind of... or want some kind of community, and... That could be like
the average person.
Yeah, exactly. But like a community could be a lot of things. It doesn't necessarily have to be like a group of actual people that you see physically. It could be like, I love watching like superhero movies, and that's like what, you know, I do that by myself. But like, what if like being part of that I feel like I'm part of something because I, you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. you don't, you can be a loner and still have a community in some ways, don't you think?
Sure. And especially nowadays with the, with internet and the availability of having all kinds of groups and,
yeah.
And, you know, you have all kinds of stuff that you can find on the internet. Everybody can have their own community.
Well, maybe you just read Harry Potter and you're like,
probably,
you like your community is the characters in a book, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah. Yeah.
You, but, I mean, just people want to be part of something.
I think there's a better word for community, though. It would be tribe.
Tribe, yes.
Right?
Absolutely.
Because when we talk about communities, when we say, you know, this city is a community, well, it's mm-hmm. a bunch of people who live together, mm-hmm. but they really don't know each other, right? Versus, you know, a community that's a church where maybe you know everybody that attends that, you do activities together, or, you know, you like to play baseball, so, you know, the baseball league is your community.
I still consider the city a tribe, though. This goes back to our political tribes, because it's just not as tight knit a tribe, yeah, right? Okay. It's still a tribe because if you have another city that is attacking your city, you're going to defend your city.
Mm. Yeah.
Right, and that's the basic, you know, tribalism right there.
Well. Mm. I'm not sure that I would.
you wouldn't take up arms, you just run.
I mean, if this one over here decided to go after this one here,
mm-hmm.
right?
That's true.
I'd say, I don't care, you know.
You would just go join the conqueror, right? And be like,
no, I just go to work and talk, get, you know, do podcasting and stuff.
You make it sound like it's a professional thing for you. I'm a professional podcaster.
You should be like, someone needs to do something about this. This war between these two cities, and you'll just complain, but then do nothing, right?
Yeah. So pretty much we do.
Yeah. Pretty much most people are just like, someone needs to do something about this. Whatever the thing is, you know?
Yep.
The righteousness of pointing out the obvious, you know?
Uh-huh. So
religion and... Or believing in an afterlife kind of a thing. That you will go on.
That there's something more than this after death.
Yeah, I don't. So it probably affects how you think about it. How it came about could be, you know, something as simple as, you know, people tell stories to help remember stuff. People tell, and then, you know, you have some children who are like, you know, they witness somebody's death and they go, oh no, what's going to happen? And mom and dad just make up a story about it, you know. And then kids say, hey, that's actually a cool story. It helped me through a hard part of my life. And they tell their kids. And after, you know, a couple of generations, it's like, okay, now this is a religion. Everybody believes this thing. Even though the first couple of them were like, okay, I realized at some point I grew up and I realized this was just a story.
Uh-huh.
But it was a useful story. But, it, you know, but you keep it going, and over time, you know, it becomes, yeah, these are facts, you know. Everything in the Bible is the word of God, you know, or whatever the scripture you have. And he is like, almost like like God wrote these things versus, you know, when
he
people
did.
Wrote them.
Hello.
But yeah. I guess but the one thing I'm thinking right now is that just because something we've evolved, it could be, you know, related to evolution at some level, does not mean that it's not like also a true thing, right? I don't think it's just... Either we evolve to believe in an afterlife, or God, it's real, you know? I think that, like, for all things spiritual, there's something physical, and there's, like, if it serves some purpose for us physically or for our lives, and we evolve to right. then, like, look to this maybe true concept for motivation right. and for meaning, you know? It doesn't mean that it's just some lie that we told ourselves, you know?
It could be a true concept. But then our picture of it is inaccurate too.
That's true.
You know,
I mean, that, how likely
like
is it?
Like, if you were to picture that you're going to go on after this, and, you know, walk around and visit with friends and all that kind of thing, you know, maybe it's not going to be like that. Maybe you won't have gender. Maybe you won't have a body. But maybe, I mean, there's all sorts of things that you might not have that you think you'll have just because that's a cool story and it makes me feel good.
Because when was the last
and everybody
time,
else likes this story.
When was the last time you, like, built something up in your mind and then how this experience will be, and then you go to Disneyland or whatever thing you've been thinking of for a long time, and it's never what you expected or imagined, right? It's never as good, typically, you know? Or the same. So you're right. It's like the chances of it being the way we expect things or envision them to be is.
Well, especially when you're trying to envision something you can't see.
Yeah, especially.
And you can't measure. Yeah. You can't probe. You can't. There's no way to do any kind of objective measurement.
You're basing your entire perception off of stories
and movies or whatever you've seen.
And your dopamine. Right? Mm-hmm. How it makes you feel.
And I remember this is
like last week's conversation.
I have this memory from my childhood that I don't even know why this sticks in my mind, and every once in a while I remember it. But basically, before I started kindergarten, I remember I was really excited to go to kindergarten. I didn't do like preschool that I can remember. I remember setting my backpack aside. I had this lunchbox, you know, and I envisioned going into a cafeteria and having lunch and doing all these things, you know, and needing a backpack and needing all these materials, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like so excited. And this was probably weeks leading up to starting kindergarten that I put all the stuff aside, you know, getting it all ready. And then I go to kindergarten. It's like, oh, this is so, it's not that long, you know, like mm-hmm. I don't eat lunch.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need a backpack, you know, that I recall at least. Mm-hmm. And I was like, pretty disappointed because it wasn't like I saw school depicted in the movies or in my imagination, you know?
Yeah.
Or in how your mom helped you set it up, right?
Yeah.
She's like, we got to go buy a backpack. We got to go buy a lunchbox.
Well, but my memory is specifically that like we have these things.
And oh, yeah.
I wasn't told, get your lunchbox ready. Oh. I was just like, I'm going to prepare myself. You know what I mean? Yeah. I took it by myself to get ready and to get all my gear together, you know?
Well, I'm thinking of, I'm the oldest, so I'm thinking about it from my perspective, which is, you know, my mom got me ready for things like that. And so in your case, if you have older siblings, yeah, you would look at it.
Four older sisters,
well,
you know.
I've got these sisters, and this is what they do when they go to school, and kindergarten is school.
That's probably
so
true.
Therefore, I must need to do the same thing.
They were
thing.
Bringing lunches the at cargo, that point.
So your lunch cargo box was My Little Pony, wasn't it?
Maybe.
You're a brony.
Before that was a thing, man, I'm like... Mm-hmm.
That's
you're the OG brony.
I was OB.
OB. Yeah.
But
that's the cargo cult idea.
Cargo cult?
Yeah. So it's the idea of when, like, an example of it would be like when the, you know, World War II, when we're doing things in different countries, you know, out in the islands in the Pacific,
mm-hmm.
you'd build this runway because you're going to land, and supplies would be flying in and stuff like that. And you have a tower, and you know everything's all set up, and all this stuff goes on. And the natives are kind of saying, "Hey, this is pretty cool." And then, you know, war's over, and you pull out.
Mm-hmm.
You no longer go to that island. All that stuff's still there. And so they get up in the tower, and they're waving the, you know, they're waving their arms and doing whatever, you know. They saw the people doing because they wanted all that stuff to come back again, you know. and it's kind of like this with the school, which is like, you know, if I do all these things, it's going to be really, really cool. And it's like, well, I actually didn't need to do all these things, and it wasn't that cool.
Yeah,
it's kind of like going to prison or living in a cage, you know.
That's how you saw school?
No.
Oh, living in a cage. Oh.
Yeah, because you're in this room, and these desks are all like in rows. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, when they want you to draw something, it's like, I want you to draw a ball or a car. It's like, well, I don't want to draw a car. I want to draw something else, you know? No, you can't do that. You got to draw a car. It's like, what?
You're a bad child. I'm just kidding.
It's like, follow the rules. If you're going to write, you got to write this way, you know? And you know, there was a time when if you were left-handed, they would smack your hand if you were left-handed, yep. you know? And it's like... You know, that's abuse, you know? But
that was religion-based, too.
But you feel like you got to do what you're told, man, especially when you're a little kindergartner.
But then you do it for several years, and at some point you forgot, you know, that when you...
You forgot that you didn't need to do it this way.
Yeah. And you just keep doing things.
Oh, dude, that's like kind of like this... I'm reading this book called Mindset, and there's this... they're just talking about having a growth mindset, being able to, like, not... having a fixed mindset where, like, you don't grow and you don't change and you assume that, like, your intelligence is fixed, you know? Oh. Anyway, so there's this student. He was a student at, like, Berkeley or something. And he was going to, like, a math class. And he came in late. And he quickly wrote down the two homework problems he saw on the board into his notes. And then he went home and he spent, like, two or three days
It's like, wow, this is really hard. Like, he spent 2 or 3 days and he finally solved them. And it turns out they weren't homework problems. They were examples of these two problems that have never been able to be solved. You know? Mm-hmm. Because he didn't have in his mind that all these are impossible. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. He just went for it and, like, he solved them.
But is that a true story?
No, it is a great story to...
You don't think it's true?
I don't know.
They have a real name of this student.
Yeah, they made it up.
I don't know.
What's his name, Jesus?
I don't know why I just told you that story.
No, but it's a good story.
I don't remember what you said that made me think of that story.
Yeah, but when you go in without preconceived notions about something and just say, yes. I'm just going to go experience this
yes,
thing.
Yes, there you go. Mm-hmm.
And see what it's like. And you go, oh, this thing is interesting. But if you go in and say, okay, when you get there, the first thing you got to do is you got to, you know, put your books over here, and then they're going to have you lift your desk, and you're going to have to sit here, and they're going to assign something. So just wait until they assign you a spot, and you know.
But when I went to kindergarten the first day, and the teacher was like, here's a sandbox. It was one like it was up on legs, you know, and there was toys and you'd play with it. And she's like, would you like to play with the sand? And I was like really scared and nervous, you know. And I'm like, yeah, but I didn't even want to because I just felt like that feeling where you just want to kind of get small and just sit in the corner and be left alone, you know, because I was really scared, you know, and nervous. And I was like, I guess I have to play with the sand. So I didn't know what to do. So I climbed inside the sand thing and I'm like miserable. I remember being like, ugh. I hate this so much. And then she comes over and starts laughing because she's like, it's probably was so cute, this stupid kindergartner climbed inside the sandbox. And she tells my mom this and they're laughing and I'm just like, it's not funny.
And now we know all of your psychological problems all stem from that one sandbox incident.
And again, I'm telling a story that has no relation to what we're talking about. This is just therapy, man. I'm thinking of kindergarten, I'm like, oh. But it's like when you're a little kid, you know, we laugh at kids when they do things and they're like, we talk about it. Like, could you see that he did this? And like, kids know you're doing that, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, they're not stupid.
Yeah.
So back on the topic then, you have... So genetically, we have certain things that people do and certain kinds of, likes and dislikes and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But I think this idea falls in the, instead of being genes, it's in the meme area where it's ideas that survive. And because those ideas that were developed a long time ago help people be happier, help people, whatever, those
would be more
propagated very well.
Yep.
And the ones that don't, didn't, you know, they went by the wayside, and sometimes it, you know, has to do with, you know, how accurate they were to your experience. And so, you know, if you think that the sky is only, you know, 10 feet above your head and that there's a chariot that goes, you know, driving across here, you know, that's the sun and all that, and then you make some observation, you go, wait, that doesn't quite make sense, then that meme starts to die out.
Yeah.
Right? Because people come up with explanations of, no, that's really just a ball that's, you know, millions of miles away. And you go, okay, that makes sense. It looks exactly like that.
But there's something to like something. So like the idea of an afterlife has been seen that value, right? So it's kind of over time, it's like given a lot of value to people.
Right.
So it survives, is what you're saying, right?
Yeah, right.
Let's say it's a true idea. Let's say it's true.
Right.
It could also be made up.
Yeah. Either way.
But there's value, so it survives. But what if the truth is there is an afterlife, but we all are goats?
Yeah.
And that's actually true. And that was like, God told someone that like 10,000 years ago, and they told people and they're like, that doesn't really help me. So it didn't survive, even if it was true, right?
Right.
Because there's no value.
And
there,
somebody
right?
else comes along and says, yeah, but it would really be good if we were people.
Yeah. People, like, I can relate to that. You know?
Yeah, it would be way more fun if we were goats.
But you know what I'm saying?
That'd
but
be awesome.
If we didn't see any value in that information, even if it was true,
I'd rather
just
be a parrot.
Survive.
Mm.
I think there's mysteries of the universe that, well, they're mysteries, but let's say there's information about the universe that if we knew it, this is a terrible example, never mind. Let's say if we knew it and it didn't help us, but it's like...
It's interesting, yeah.
Yeah, but there's interest, you know. But anyways, so that's not, that doesn't work.
Yeah, so in other words, religion is the ultimate meme.
Yeah.
It's one of the best memes.
Can we put that on a image and put it on Facebook?
Because like you said before, meme is just an idea.
Right.
It spreads.
It spreads.
No, it's just an,
it may not even,
an idea.
It's just an idea.
It's an idea.
And a good meme.
A good meme spreads and survives.
Right. Or a
successful
meme. A successful meme. Just like successful genes do that.
So the idea of a meme being a thing is its own, is a meme in of itself. That has survived.
It's an idea of an idea.
Yeah.
It's a meta.
That's
it's a meta meme.
That's super so meta. Meta.
Memes are meta. And not meta.
Yes.
Well, and now that we're talking about it like that, they're meta.
Oh dear.
Because we're talking about memes being meta and how they are meta.
We're getting multiple levels deep. And not in meta. We're getting multiple levels deep in other crap.
And it's and it'll be
but these are,
it's
honestly,
turtles all the way down.
Turtles all the way down.
Memes all the way down.
I pretty much listen to our podcast. I'm one of the one or two people in the world that listen to them. But these are the kind of ones that are more interesting to listen to, I found. At least, and it's hard to say for the general public if they were to listen, which they won't. But I think when we kind of go interesting places, and I've tried to like bring a topic and like with some research, and I mean, that could go well, but something that's more out all over the place is kind of more interesting anyway. So, so this has been fun.
Yep.
I don't know what our conclusion is, that religion is fake. Right? Is that what it was?
That was the conclusion, absolutely. Scientifically proven.
Not fake, just a huge lie.
And
that it's destroying the world.
And it's bad for people.
It's bad for, yes, that's what it was. I'm sorry.
Even if you do good things.
Well, how do we
because
do that?
The ends don't justify the means.
That's right. The ends never justify the means. Unless it gives me means, like if it gives me lots of money.
Yeah. Yes.
All right. Well, till next time.
Over and out.
Okay.